Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bactiguard Interim Report for April to June 2016. Today I'm pleased to present CEO Christian Kinch and CFO Fredrik Järrsten. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Hello, my name is Christian Kinch. I'm the CEO of Bactiguard, and I would like to welcome you all to the second quarter of 2016. If we turn to the first page, just to set the stage for Bactiguard and what we're all about, we are at war against healthcare-associated infections. Just so we really get a grasp of that, hospital-acquired infections is the third largest cause of death in the Western world. We are also challenged by antibiotics not being efficient anymore, and now, for the first time in the U.S., there has been a case of a patient resistant to the last resort of the antibiotic defense, colistin. This is extremely severe, and this is unfortunately a trend growing all around the world. That means whatever we can do to prevent the infections in the first place is of key essence going forward. Then, turning to the next slides, looking at some highlights from the second quarter, I would like to say that overall we are pleased with the second quarter. We are seeing a positive trend in both sales and profits. Of course, as you've noticed, the increase in the underlying sales of the BIP portfolio has more than doubled. We are seeing a very strong underlying revenue from our biggest partners, C.R. Bard, in the U.S. and in Japan. Total revenues for the quarter is up some 19%, which is extremely positive. Worth noting is, of course, also two things: that deliveries have now started to some of our biggest markets, being China and India. We will come back to that later on. Worth noting is also that we have been recognized by the European Union, receiving a research grant where we will address the complexity of working with blood products and the issue of having tissue-friendly surfaces. Also, we continue to invest in clinical data, and we have just kicked off a trial with spinal cord injured patients, of course, with the constant problem and challenges with urinary tract infection. Happily, we have also strengthened from a top level in our board with Marie Wickman-Chantereau. Marie has a background both from the healthcare providing sector, working for one of the biggest private healthcare providers in Sweden, Aleris, and she's at the same time professor at KI within plastic surgery. So this is extremely positive for the company overall. Last but not least, we are pleased, and in particular myself as a main owner of Bactiguard, to see the strong engagement by the Bactiguard staff, and in particular the management, by investing into the Bactiguard share program. So, moving to the next page, our key priorities. As I came back to Bactiguard June 12, 2015, we sat down together with the management team, and we ironed out three key priorities. Quite simple. We want to drive sales of our own portfolio within the Bactiguard infection protection product range. I'm very happy to see that for the first half year, we have now delivered on our promise to at least double sales every single year. We also continue to work and increase our presence within the license field. Last October, we were very happy to announce the first new license deal within implants with Vigilance. This is a major opportunity for Bactiguard, and we are working quite severe on nailing down at least one new license deal this year, and we're quite positive that we will achieve this goal. Last but not least, we announced also last year that we are working on securing the long-term refinancing of the outstanding bond debt. One Small Step on the Road here was released just this week, as we have now prolonged our credit facility until the end of 2017. This gives us peace of mind, being able to work with a very secure solution for the long term. Turning to the next page. As I said, we have said, and myself in particular, we will at least deliver a doubling of our revenue coming from our own portfolio every single year within the coming years. When you look at the quarter, we are up some 90% on delivered units, which is positive. We're not saying that we are satisfied by this, but we see it as a very positive trend. And for the first half year, as you can see, we have increased from some 60 to almost 200,000 units. This is, of course, mainly due to strong deliveries, mainly into China. As released also yesterday, we noticed that already now for Q3, we took a new strong repeat order from India, which is very positive. So, handing over to Cecilia, please take us through what is happening around the markets in the world. Please go ahead, Cecilia.
Thank you, Christian. Let me try and shed some light on what's going on in the different markets. We start with Europe. We have, as you may well know, intensified our efforts. We have 2 full-time staff now working in Sweden and 2 working in continental Europe. This means that interest is increasing, volumes are increasing, albeit from a rather low level. So we expect a lot more from Europe. What we are doing is, one, qualifying for more tenders, introducing infection control as a criteria in big tenders, particularly in our home market. But we are also working on developing new partnerships for new major markets in Europe, and I expect to be able to talk more about that later in the year. If we turn to one of our other core markets, the Middle East, where we started really seeing big movements in the past in Bactiguard, we've had a slow quarter. You will know that Ramadan has been in June, and the political environment is challenging. So the quarter has been slow, but we are seeing an increase in activity now early in Q3. So that's positive. Still, the political environment in many of the countries is challenging, and the economic situation in Saudi Arabia is fairly tough. Turning to Latin America, I just came back from a ministerial delegation to Brazil, which I found very useful because it's evident that they are struggling with the same challenges as any other country across the world with antimicrobial resistance and soaring healthcare expenditures. Just those of you who follow the political situation, particularly now in connection with the Olympic Games, know that there's been a lot of turbulence in Brazil with Dilma Rousseff and now with Michel Temer is being challenged. So that situation is rather unstable. But I take confidence in the fact that several hospitals have contacted me after the delegation and want to do evaluations. This is not saying that volumes will pick up quickly, but I'm confident that over the time we will build a strong presence. What is positive is that one of the smaller markets, Ecuador, has started ordering products. This has been a long registration process. They made a fairly sizable delivery. We made a donation to the Red Cross following the earthquake, which has been very positively received, and we have a strong distributor there who can develop the market. China and India, I will come back to individually, as these are our key priorities for this year. So let's turn to the next page and start by China. In May, Sweden was visited by the Minister of Health, Madame Li Bin, from China, and there was a joint seminar where both she and Gordon Wickstrom, our minister, stated that China and Sweden should work together on the global issues that are important to all of us, like antimicrobial resistance. found that the prevention of infections is strategic, because the infection that doesn't happen needs no treatment. So it's no doubt that it is at the top of the agenda. Gabri Bikström has also taken the initiative to start something called the Alliance of Champions, where countries like China, Brazil, Germany, Sweden all stand together and have brought this up to the highest level within the UN to find ways to stop resistant bacteria from spreading across the world. Then on to the next page, China. There's been a lot of intense activities in the past quarter. You know, we received our first order in Q1 following the product approval, and the bulk of the deliveries related to that first order were made to China in the second quarter, which means that they're now in the country. In the middle of July, we trained 100 sales reps and product specialists in China, so they are now going out and approaching hospitals in different regions. We will, of course, do many more training sessions, so based on their feedback that they get from the initial approaches, we will continue to do regional training activities throughout the autumn. We've also developed a digital tool whereby we can train all our distributors across the world on our products, how best to use them and prevent infections. So coming few months are going to be very interesting in following how things are developing in China. Turning over again to the next page, India. Well, yesterday we released that we got our first repeat order from China of 60,000 catheters, which is very encouraging. We got the first one late last year for 50,000. Most of that initial order has been delivered in the first quarter, but then some in the second quarter. We've been working with our distributor and several sub-distributors and dealers in many metropolitan areas. India is not really a country, it's more of like a continent, so we need to work with presses in different regions. You can see from the pictures that the state of the various hospitals is very different. On the one hand, you have the private hospitals. On the other hand, you have the public hospitals, where resources are very diverse. What is encouraging is that price is not an issue, doesn't seem to be an issue in India. The problem of infections and the problem of antimicrobial resistance is so high, so a higher price for the prevention is well justified, and this gives me courage to state that even in other markets in the world, if India can afford it, other countries can afford it as well. Our clinical study is well underway. We've recruited over 250 patients. 5 out of 6 sites are up and running. For the 6th one, the ethical approval took a bit of a while, but now that they're all up and running, the recruitment is well underway. So this is a major study, and we will make the most of it also in our marketing. And we are continuing there as well to do major training activities. And here we're not only at this point training the distributor, but we're also training hospital staff at major hospitals, actually this month, later this month. Turning the page to our licensed business, our other line of business, you know that we have a very successful partnership with BARD since 1995. And the license revenue is now back at a stable level. Christian mentioned the cooperation with Vigilant, which is in the startup phase this year. But what has that triggered is a lot of interest from other manufacturers of orthopedic implants. So we've allocated a lot more resources to developing the license business. And we have several ongoing discussions in various areas that I can't go into more details on now, but it makes me very confident that we will close at least one new deal before the end of this year. With that, I turn back to Christian.
Thank you, Cecilia. So, going to financial highlights on the next page.
As I said earlier, we can see a very clear positive trend in both sales and EBITDA margins. As you can see from the top,
revenues are up some 19% in the quarter, which is, of course, most satisfying. More interesting, though, is to note also that the EBITDA has gone from a negative 8.4 million to a positive one. And, of course, summarizing for the first half year, we note that sales is okay. We are up slightly. But the positive note here is that we run with a positive 0.8 EBITDA. So let's move into the overall financials. And by those words, I hand over to you, Fredrik.
Thank you, Christian. So just some repetition first on page 12, just briefly, looking at our two revenue streams, which is now the licenses relating to the CRBAR and also the license agreement with the Vigilance Medical Devices. The other revenue stream is the BIP revenues from direct sales of our products, and all volumes delivered will generate revenue. Going on to the next page, which is page 13, we show the distribution of revenues in the accounts. So in Q2, bulk of revenues, or 8%, came from license revenues related to BARD. So that was 27.2 million SEK, which is up 5% compared to Q2 2015, including a positive currency effect of 0.5 million Swedish. The first half year, 84% or 50 million SEK were license revenues. That's down 5% compared to first half 2015. And this is mainly due to the adjustment of the additional one-off order from CFR that resulted in low revenues in Q1. Decrease also includes a negative currency effect of 0.2 million. Now, sales of BIP products in the quarter had a very positive development, reflecting the strong outcome in delivered products. So that amounted to 11% of revenues, sales primarily to China, Europe, and India. Out of the 3.7 million in revenues, 1.6 million had a cash flow effect. For the first half year, sales of BIP products totaled 6.6 million, 11% of revenues, and this is up 39% compared to first half of 2015. Other revenue, 2.9 million in the quarter, that's 8.5% of revenues. That's largely attributable to EU grants for development projects, as well as exchange rate differences. So in total, revenues for the quarter, 33.8 million. That's up 19% in relation to Q2 2015. And for the first half year, revenues is up 4% to 60 million SEK. Next page, page 14. I just would like to make the comment that we are back to a stable level regarding license revenues from BARD. In Q1, we saw the remaining effect of the adjustment of the additional order. The adjustment affected order volume both in Q4 2015 with approximately 5 million and in Q1 approximately 3 million. But as of March, the order volume is back to stable level, and in Q2 we could conclude that this was the case, with actually the highest revenue for a single quarter, with the exception for the additional order in Q3 2015. Right. Some more numbers, key figures. The next page, we have already commented on the revenues and EBITDA for the quarter and for the first half year. Now, the EBITDA for the quarter were affected by a provision for inventory of Solesense, negatively impacting the result in the second quarter with 1.7 million. Now, this is included in the cost item raw materials and consumables. Further on, we have no non-recurring costs in Q2 this year, but last year we had a non-recurring cost affecting EBITDA negatively related to the provision for severance pay to the former CEO, amounting to 4.6 million. Total OPEX for the quarter, defined as other external expenses, personnel costs, and other operating expenses, that amounted to approximately 25 million in the quarter, which is the same level as in Q1. The operating profit for the quarter first half year is negative, minus 5.9 million for the quarter depreciation. Depreciation amounted to 8.3 million in the quarter. Depreciation is taken on a material and immaterial assets, where technology related to the product is the largest asset in the balance sheet, which is depreciated over 15 years. The net profit per quarter, minus 7.7 million. Financial items included in net profit, so the quarter was negative. Interest costs on the bond having the most impact. Market valuation of the bond, also included financial items, had a positive effect this quarter of approximately 0.7 million. In Q2 2015, this effect was significant with approximately 11 million. Net profit first half year, minus 18.9 million. And finally, operating total cash flow for Q2, negative 2.2 million. Still an improvement compared to Q2 last year, which was minus 7.8 million. And for the first half year, the operating cash flow is slightly negative with minus 0.5 million. Right. Moving on. Next page, page 16, just briefly looking at our financial position. End of the quarter, we had an equity ratio of 61%. We had a net debt of 119 million, and we had a cash position of 22 million. Altogether, we now have an outstanding bond, nominal value 138 million, annual interest cost approximately 15 million until maturity. The refinancing solution of the bond loan that we have communicated will significantly reduce annual interest costs at maturity. The credit facility of in total 130 million, combined with the company's cash position, secures the financing in the short term of the bond loan maturing in December 2016. And also, as Christian mentioned, in our ongoing effort to secure the long-term financing, the maturity of the credit facility that we signed an agreement on in November 2015 has now been extended to 31st of December 2017. Yes, next page, the financial targets, they are obviously the same as last quarter, so I don't really need to comment further on that page. Back to you, Christian.
Thank you, Fredrik. So, concluding, and just before I do that, I would like to say the following, that I'm now 1 year into my regained CEO role, and I can conclude the following, that the trend for Bactiguard has changed. We're now into a positive one, a positive direction in sales, a positive direction in profitability. Why is this? It's quite simple. We have a brilliant team. What is happening right now is that Bactiguard, thanks to a team effort, is starting to unlock the full potential of the Bactiguard solution. This is something that I am extremely proud of. We have just started, but having said that, we are well positioned for growth. Why? Thanks to the giant challenge around the world of antibiotic resistance, hospital-acquired infections, economy being weak, we need to do everything we can in our mind to increase efficiency within the healthcare sector. And no patient should be blocking a needed bed for someone needing the care. Here, Bactiguard and the Bactiguard solution becomes extremely important. We have seen a very nice trend in the sales of the BIP portfolio. We are on our way, as released earlier, to at least double the revenue in the BIP portfolio. And I say, and I stress, at least double. For the quarter, as noted, it is positive. It's increased by some 19%. But I would like to have the focus still on China and India. Again, thanks to brilliant team effort, in July, as presented by Cecilia, we did the biggest training session in the history of Bactiguard, as we trained some 100 sales reps and product managers in China. This is, of course, extremely interesting, given the huge potential in China. But more importantly is also that
we have gained access to this market. Ask any single medtech company or pharma company in the world, and everybody's looking at just to gain access into China. This is very, very positive. At that same direction, the other part, which is India, where we started and commenced sales already earlier, where we now happily can conclude a new repeat order. That gives me comfort by saying that it works. Having treated some 150 million patients in the US, I'm not surprised, but I'm very happy to conclude that we're now gaining traction in other markets. So looking at the coming quarters, we are now intensifying our work within the license area. We will at least sign one new license deal this year. And we are strengthening our efforts in the European market. And this is extremely important. We have seen what is happening in Europe. The economy is somewhat weaker. And this, of course, in our mind, it's a positive thing because that makes stronger need for health economy solutions like the one that Bactiguard is providing. All in all, we have also gained headroom in our own work by securing the long-term financing at one step. So I would like to say that we are pleased, not happy, but we are pleased about the trend that we are in right now. And as promised already earlier, 2016 is going to be Bactiguard's year. With those words, I thank you all for listening, and we are now ready to take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll enter a queue. Our first question comes from the line of Johan Unnerus from Swedbank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions, and congratulations to progress in Q2. Some questions then, perhaps beginning on China. How many are you planning to train over the next 12 months? You had a session with about 100 reps recently you referred to in the summing up part of the presentation. And in India, how many hospitals have you sort of approached, and how many have placed and considered repeat orders? And a third question, without taking too many at once, could be also on the cost of goods, perhaps, which seems to be high, still considering the provisions you made some products in the quarter.
Sorry, Johan, Christian, could you repeat the last one?
The cost or raw material cost reported in the quarter was on the high side, still considering the, I think it was 1.7 million due to obsolete goods, but it's still high if you deduct that.
Let me then start by talking about China. We trained 100 people. We typically work with the train-the-trainer concept. So we train staff at our distributor, and in turn they will train people reporting to them. But of course we will not be satisfied with just training 100 people. So there will be regional activities going on throughout the autumn. So we will pick region by region and gather the staff. So the idea is to train all staff who are in some way related to the Bactiguard products and solutions. So I can't say exactly how many, but all who are directly involved. When it comes to India, we've had a broad approach, but we've been focusing on the metropolitan areas, not so where the major hospital chains are. There's about a handful of private chains who have evaluated the product in a smaller scale and then have started putting repeat orders. Typically how they do it, they will test a few samples, then they will make a smaller order, they test it across the hospital, and then comes the time for the repeat order. So in terms of end user volumes, it's not as high as the orders yet, but it's gradually building momentum.
Right. And the last question regarding cost of goods sold. Well, cost of goods sold, first of all, it's reflected in the cost item, raw materials and consumables. Now, that item is fairly broad. So in this case, it includes cost of goods sold both for WIP products, but also, obviously, for the license revenues. It also includes other production-related costs, such as samples, and also then it includes this write-down of inventory of 1.7 million. Having said that, we also have this quarter we have lower margin on some volume, that is volumes delivered on old contracts, and that is especially related to Europe. So your comment that it's higher than we want to achieve later on, but it's not you can't really draw any conclusions by looking at the total sum of cost, raw materials and consumables.
Okay, that's helpful. I can step back if there are further other questions. Otherwise, I'm happy to come back later on.
Please do.
Our next question comes from the line of Sten Gustafsson from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Sten Gustafsson from ABG. I was wondering if you could give us the breakdown of your deliveries in the quarter and also in the first half, how much is actually coming from China and India, and if you could highlight any other region or country that you have delivered to in this period. And also, secondly, if you could give us an update on the Vigilance deal and when we can expect to see products to be launched and revenues from that to start. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. When it comes to deliveries, the bulk of the first order we received from India came in Q1. There's only a small portion in Q2. When it comes to China, the majority of the order that we received in Q1 was delivered in Q2, and some remaining in Q3, but that's the smaller part. Those are the major deliveries, and we had quite sizable deliveries to Europe in Q1, but I don't want to go into any further detail on the breakdown of the delivery. When it comes to Vigilance, we had a good start with them. You know, we received upfront fees when we signed the contract back in Q3 of last year. They've submitted for ethical approval to do clinical trials. They're in the middle of the registration process. Obviously, registration processes are always difficult to predict, particularly since the notifying body seems to be swamped with work. But we are fairly confident that they will get to product approval towards the end of this year or at the latest early next year. There is another portion of the upfront payment which will come when the product is registered or at the end of this year. And then as they start selling, it will generate royalties.
All right. Thank you. I get back to the queue.
We have a follow-up question from Johan Unnerus from Swedbank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. On the Seer Bard license revenue, which came a lot closer to be normal, I guess. Smaller points there. It's the positive currency effect seems to be a high if you look at the average exchange rate during Q2, not at the recent level, of course, but where the dollar has improved. So that could be a question also relating to that line of income is the volume that even if you adjust them for a positive, more positive currency effect, its volumes are still well, a bit on the high side in my books anyway. And also compared to your earlier outlook on that line of volume, which is sort of flat or possibly slightly negative, if I remember correctly. Another question on working capital, which in this quarter is on the negative side, if you can provide a bit more details on that would be helpful. And a smaller point on your Latin America partner, Promedon. Of course, it's a tough region, and we all know that. But what about the your take on that partner as such would be useful as well. Thank you.
Right, several questions there. So the first one regarding license and royalty from Sierra Bard. Now, the currency effect is, compared to Q2 2015, it's not major. So if I understood you correctly, you assume that it was major, but that's 0.5 million SEK. So, but getting into maybe the main part of the question regarding volumes, we are happy to conclude that the Q2 was back to stable level and according to our expectations. So we had, that's basically it. I mean, we are assuming we're now back on track and for the full year. We can't give any predictions, of course, but this indicates that we are getting back on track and likely to hopefully to get where we have assumed in the start of the year.
Crystal clear answer.
Yes.
That's summarizing into it's a positive trend with Barnes.
Yes. Yes.
And as for working capital.
And as for working capital, so we had a positive cash flow in Q1. Now we commented on that it was mainly due to large payments on accounts receivables. Now for this quarter, it's more back to normal in a sense in working capital also. So we had good sales generating accounts receivables, so that was negative for the cash flow. We have paid the accounts payables and we have some inventory. But it's mainly related to in Q1 that we had major payments.
Thank you, Fredrik. And then Cecilia?
From it on, we haven't just been training staff in China and our training staff in India. We also had a training session for Latin America in June. And I think it's fair to say that all our distributors felt encouraged after that. Promedon is active in Brazil, Mexico, and Chile, and their progress has been a bit different in the different markets. They've made more progress in Chile, which is a small market. Mexico has been waiting for some product registration, which meant that the start was a bit slow. In Brazil, they have been fighting a bit on the right approach, how to get in, how to get the product evaluated by the hospitals. When I was there last week, we got clearance from one of the major hospitals that they like our technology, so now starts the commercial process there. A number of other hospitals have indicated interest, and this is in the Sao Paulo area. Promedon have recruited two new staff who are going to work on the Bactiguard account. So I'm confident over it in a medium to long-term perspective, but we need to be there, we need to work with them, and potentially also find sub-dealers, because Brazil is also a vast country, which takes a lot to cover in its totality. But we are following this closely to find the right structure and balance.
Thank you. That's useful.
We have another follow-up question from Sten Gustafsson from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Sten Gustafsson from ABG again. I was wondering if you could just confirm that there are no changes to the terms of the credit facility. And secondly, I want to hear your thoughts on the sort of 6 month extension of it, and what your plan is, and sort of why you didn't extend it for a longer period. That would be interesting to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Christian here. Valid question. As for the terms, no, nothing has changed. As for the second part of your question, time is of essence, and we like, and as we've indicated before, we are working constantly with securing a long-term sustainable financing solution, and we are on track with that. So this is more to see as a midterm step in the right direction, nothing more, nothing less. So we are satisfied and we are confident, but we are working on a longer term plan than this. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
I remind you that if you want to ask a question, you'll have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. As there are no further questions as of this time, I'll return the conference to the speakers.
Thank you all. Christian here. Thank you for listening and thank you for valid questions. As I said before, this is a step in the right direction. We have a positive underlying trend in both sales and profitability in the company. We feel confident going into the second half of 2016, and we will come back and proving that by delivering on a quarterly basis. So 2016 will and remains the year of Bactiguard. Thank you all for listening, and bye-bye.